Grace and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
A few days ago, I was reflecting with a friend on the present agonies of our world. Right as it seems, when the burdens of the pandemic are lightening, we are faced with the invasion in Ukraine. She asked me, "So what does it mean to say that God protects us in a world that is quite literally on fire?" I heard her question echoing through my head and my heart. When I studied the words of the prayer of the day, we prayed just a few minutes ago that God would lead us safely through the wilderness of this world to the life that God alone can give. What does it mean to sing of a God who will raise us up on eagle's wings, as Psalm 99 declares, who will let no evil befall us? For you just have to turn on the news or open your calendar to check on when your next doctor's appointment is. Or for some of us, just to remember the threats and terrors of childhood, to know that safety is not a sure bet, and that danger can strike any one of us at any time. Lead us safely through the wilderness of this world to the life that you alone can give. This prayer leads us to Jesus and the devil, the third temptation on the top of the temple. It is dangerous to stand on the precipice of a tower, to jump even more so. If he jumps, Jesus' body, like all bodies, will be subject to gravity and accelerate to the ground at 9.81 meters per second squared. The devil tempts him. Isn't there more to life than just physics? Aren't you the Son of God? Hasn't God commanded his angels concerning you? They won't let you fall. They won't even let you break your foot on the way down. If this God is real, if being the Son of God is real, God won't let anything bad happen. So jump. Ooh, the devil knows us. I'm not sure if he's testing Jesus or testing us there. It's such an enticing offer because it targets our deepest fears. Wouldn't we love to be able to leverage our faith into a form of protection from harm? Wouldn't it be great if trust in God were like Kevlar? If prayers were like helmets? What if we could, to use the words of Debbie Thomas, leverage our belovedness, for we are beloved of God. What if we could leverage our belovedness into an impenetrable shield? What if we really could turn danger away by believing enough, by praying more, by giving more generously, by being a good person and showing up in church? What if we could get God to guarantee us rescue on the basis of our faith? Standing at the pinnacle of the temple, his toes no doubt curling over the edge in fright, Jesus said no. No to the kind of faith that would make trust in God into a kind of Kevlar suit. No to a cheap test of God's love. No to the devil. He said yes to being human like us. Yes to gravity. Yes to having a body that could be hurt. Yes to a strange form of faith that does not avoid but somehow includes suffering. Here, as in all the temptations, Jesus gives his heart not to the devil, but gives it completely to vulnerable human beings. As Son of God, he would live like us. He said yes to the way of the cross. Yes to the reality that all God's beloveds ache and die, that they flee war and bear excruciating suffering, but they will not do so alone. Yes to God who redeems suffering by bearing it. Yes to God who will raise him from the tomb and who will promise new life to the whole world through his death and resurrection. If he hadn't jumped, if he hadn't refused the devil, if Jesus had jumped instead, if he had let the angels let him float safely to the ground, we would have had a nice show, but we would not have had a savior. If he had gently been led to the ground on the wings of angels, all we would have been able to do is just watch and wonder. He only helps us by being like us. Saying no to the devil on the top of the temple, he said yes to huddling in a subway station in Kyiv. Yes to riding the waves on a flimsy raft across a sea to be away from war. Yes to standing in hospital rooms while machines beep and moans of anguish fill the air. If you want to know where he is now, look in those places. because that's where he chooses to be. That is the way of his cross, which is God's sign of solidarity with us, but which is also the promise that there is no suffering so terrible that God cannot bring new life in its midst. There's no worldly danger that has the last word, for by the cross and resurrection, God has the last word. Lead us safely through the wilderness of this world. His toes curled on the top of the temple, his arms stretched out on the cross, Jesus stands our ideas of safety on their head. God's protection does not mean a life without danger. It means a life filled with God's care no matter what. The human ways we tend to seek safety, Kevlar, weapons, science, technology, from God's perspective, those are fragile. Our hope is in God, who gave us his son's whole heart and chooses to live completely with us. Real safety means a life of trust in him no matter what, seeing every path, no matter what dangers it's filled with, as a path ultimately to Easter. During the Second World War, theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer entered into a plot against Hitler, and what that plot was discovered. He was imprisoned prior to the plot attempting to be executed. When it was, it failed. Hitler survived, and Bonhoeffer knew, sitting in jail, that his fate also would be sealed. The day it was discovered that the plot did not work, he wrote to his friend Eberhard these words: "I discovered, and I'm still discovering to this day, that one only learns to have faith by living in the full this-worldliness of life. If one has completely renounced making something of oneself, whether it be a saint or a converted sinner or a church leader, a just or an unjust person, a sick or a healthy person, then one throws oneself completely into the arms of God. And that's what I call this worldliness. Living fully in the midst of life's tasks, questions, successes and failures, experiences and perplexities, then one takes seriously no longer one's own sufferings, but rather the sufferings of God in the world. Then one stays awake with Christ in Gethsemane, and this, I think, is faith. This is repentance. And this is how one becomes a human being, a Christian. How should one become arrogant over successes or shaken by one's failures when one shares in God's sufferings in the life of this world? I'm grateful I've been allowed this insight, and I know that it is only on this path that I have finally taken that I was able to learn this. So I'm thinking gratefully and with peace of mind about past as well as present things. May God lead us kindly through these times, but above all, may God lead us to himself. Amen."